Buongiorno, everybody, and welcome! Thank you for taking the time to come here and spend the next 49 minutes and 23, 22, 21 seconds talking about Azure Active Directory and development. How many of you guys have Visual Studio installed on your machines? Very good. And how many of you guys actually open it at least once a day? Excellent, very good. For everybody else, you are welcome to stay. If you are into hippies with a strong Italian accent, by all means, be my guest. But when you fill in the evaluation, please don't write, "Oh, it was all about development," because it is. It's by design. All right, my name is Vittorio Bertocci. As you can hear from my accent, I live in Washington State, Redmond. And I know. I've been living there for 10 years, but my accent, unfortunately, doesn't want to go. And I work in the Azure Active Directory team, where I look after developer experience. And specifically, I focus on developer libraries. Today, I'm going to give you a very, very, very quick glimpse of how you can take advantage of Azure Active Directory in your own applications for outsourcing some of the historically most difficult functionalities, such as user authentication, user management, and querying the directory. Given that we don't have a lot of time, I'm just going to do the first two boxes. I'm going to try to make these concrete by showing you how to perform a couple of common tasks. The first one is a classic sign in, and we'll see how you can modulate that if you are writing for your own enterprise or if you are selling software. And the other part is how you can actually query the directory, even if your application runs in the cloud and so is allegedly isolated from your app. And I will happily ignore the third square, so pretend is not there. And before this, I will give you a very quick introduction to what is Azure Active Directory and why did we even bother to create Azure Active Directory, given that we had a perfectly good directory on-premises, which the almost near totality of big enterprises and small enterprises and medium enterprises on the planet are using. So why did we even bother to do this? So what is Azure Active Directory? Effect pause. So, I just published this guy. It took 1 year of my life. And this copy might be yours if you ask me one question I never heard before, which has something to do with identity. If you ask me about my conditioner, I will never tell you. It is a secret. I want to be the only one with these locks. But seriously, if you ask me a question that I never heard before, this will be yours. So, let me ask you a question. What is Azure Active Directory? Anybody use the Azure Active Directory already? Lots. How many of you are using Office 365 today? There you go. So, for the people that raised the hand second time, but not the first one, as it turns out, you lied. You are already using Azure Active Directory. When you get your Office 365 tenant, you do get Azure Active Directory. But I'm trying to avoid the issue here. What is Azure Active Directory? Azure Active Directory is a hosted service which helps you to deal with identity management. Now, I don't know exactly who gave the name to the service, and I guess we had very good reasons, but typically, the first time you hear about this, you imagine this huge domain controller in the sky somewhere, which knows about everybody. And that is absolutely not the case. We have like huge data centers, but there's not one single domain controller. If anything, we have millions of independent instances, just like your on-prem Active Directory. You have your own on-prem Active Directory. The code might be developed by Microsoft, but your administrator is the king of a castle. And your neighbor, your competitor, your supplier, their own Active Directories are all separated. They are all managed by their own administrators. Now, you can take the exact same concept and move it to the cloud. We have a multi-tenant system, but you are the owner of your own data. You run your own directory. And in fact, if you are synchronizing from on-prem, potentially you can also keep exactly the practices you are following today. And somehow, magically, these things will be reflected to the cloud. Microsoft here is a custodian. We own the pipes. We sweep the floor. We make the air conditioning run. But you own the data, and you control it directly, exactly in the same way in which you were doing on-premises. Now, of course, I don't know if marketing will approve that I say this, but personally, I think that Azure Active Directory came out because of Office 365. Microsoft decided to start selling Office as a subscription service, so SaaS application. How many of you guys have a SaaS application that you sell or maintain? 1, 2, 3, maybe 2.5. Okay, so in theory, this presentation is all for 2.5 people, but I'll try to somewhat modulate it to a situation that is not a lot of ASVs. So the idea is when you are selling software as a service, you have certain challenges that you don't have when you deploy this software on-prem. And so Azure Active Directory was born specifically as a way of dealing with identity when using Office 365. So we definitely found that the on-prem directory could not meet the challenges of the workloads of something that lives in the cloud. So we created this thing. And as it turned out, it's something that can actually be generalized. It's something that can be useful for anybody who creates these workloads in the cloud. When you are creating applications in the cloud, it works for everybody. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that this mic is so powerful. I didn't want to scream earlier. I'm used to project. OK, so some numbers just for impressing you. This thing is not a science experiment. I'm not suggesting that Microsoft ever does science experiments, but this is a technology which is more than well proven. This is actually delivering on the premise of supporting Office 365. And if you follow the financial measures and similar, not just Office 365, but any cloud service in Microsoft, you'll see that that's a very, very vital component of our business. That's how they are paying my salary, so very important. And so if Azure Active Directory goes down, Office 365 goes down. And here we are talking about an enormous amount of companies and enormous amount of users. So 86% of a Fortune 100, 500 use Azure Active Directory in some capacity, like be Office 365, be Azure itself. How many of you guys use Azure? All right, as a shareholder, thank you. So this thing is used across the board. And I don't want to bore you. I will not cover each and every number. But just for giving you a feeling of this, 7 million organizations, 7 million tenants are using this thing. So this is in a system of gargantuan proportions. Like these 1 billion authentication every day, 1 trillion authentication since we started. Like, I cannot say that it is the biggest business identity system in the world, because I'm not sure. But I'd be surprised if it would be any bigger. Somebody said Facebook. I believe I said business. Did I forget business? All right. But point taken, point taken. Thank you, sir. But it wasn't a question, so I'm sorry, but you just had to go up with a voice for Facebook, and then it would have been good. Okay. So today, I'm not touching that, but although we started Office in Azure AD as a way of supporting organizational, like work and school flows, then we are now leveraging this infrastructure for expanding this capability further. So, for example, if you have a website, if you have an application which is not for your employees but for your customers, you'll have different challenges. Like, you don't need to know the role of your customer, but you do need to scale to probably a bigger number of the scale that you'd want for your employees. And you'll want to integrate with social providers because your customers are not really provisioned. So there are a number of features that make sense for business-to-consumer scenarios. And again, I will not talk about it today, but I just want you to know that we have this B2C offer, which is based on the same infrastructure of Azure AD. Yet it's already in place, so it allows us to be very, very competitive in terms of price. So if you have such a business, I invite you to take a look. Okay, time for some architecture and also water. All right, am I speaking too fast? Is my accent too thick? It's a rhetorical question. I can't do anything about the accent, but I can slow down. Never mind, let me keep going. Okay, imagine that you have an application that you want to run in the cloud. Now, you could be nice V, and you might be selling this application as a service, so it's your source of revenue. Or you might be building this application for your own company, but you want to deploy it to the cloud because it's convenient, because it's cheap. Because. I'm sure that our marketing already told you a lot about the cloud. So what happens? What happens is that your application runs in the cloud. And say that the target of your application, say that your organization or the organization you're trying to sell it, is not using Azure Active Directory. That's terrible. But they are using some kind of directory. Now, if your application would be living within the boundaries of the company, then problem solved. For the sheer fact that your application lives on the local network, they have to authenticate. That's how Kerberos works. How many of you guys are familiar with the word Kerberos? Nearly everybody. Excellent. For everybody else is the authentication system that we use on premises with Windows. But as soon as you take this application and put it outside of those boundaries, then all those fantastic tricks that we built with a local Active Directory stop working. Now, I still need, when users come to my application, to know who they are. Because if my application is of any value, I need to always authenticate the user. So now, there is a trick that was devised about in 2001, and it's still very popular today in the industry, for solving this problem, for crossing this chasm and still authenticate. Anybody wants to guess what the trick is? It was a very good try, but that wasn't it. I'm very sorry. So the trick here is federation. The idea is that back in 2001, when the main thing that was like all the rage was single sign-on, and browsers started using this thing like a session with cookies and similar, but cookies were limited to domains. So like when you issue a cookie which represents an authentication, this cookie can only work with one domain. So if you wanted to have a user that talks to multiple applications hosted in multiple domains, you can't rely on that. So they came out with this great idea of a federation. Federation is just a set of protocols in which two different parties agree to communicate using those protocols so that you don't need to know the details of how those systems are implemented. So if you have one party which is running, I don't know, WebSphere, and the other part which is running Azure, for example, you can agree both to use SAML, for example. How many of you guys ever heard of SAML? Very good. And at that point, you can communicate, and it doesn't matter how you are implemented, because you are following the protocol. Or at least that's the theory. In reality, it's like job security for people like me working in security. But at least on paper, if you both follow the protocol, it works. Now, what is the problem? The problem is that if you are doing this from time to time, that's fine. But if you are an application that has the aspiration of talking to the hundreds, thousands, millions of customers, now every time you want to single sign on with a customer, you have to go to dinner with the administrator of the customer, which is a lot of dinners. Because everybody can run their own directory in whatever way they want and still be compliant with this protocol. So knowing that A and B both talk SAML isn't enough to have some level of business integration. So problem one, you can solve it with federation, but it doesn't scale. Problem two, say that I happily authenticated and say that my application is the most classic example, expense note. So I'm a user, I get in there, and let's say that I'm a manager. And now my application needs to show me all the expense notes of my reports. As I authenticate, I normally show up with one thing called the security token, which is just an artifact which proves that I successfully authenticated. This security token contains information about myself, which we like to call claims, because the provider claims those things about me, which substantially say something about myself, my name, my surname, my email, my roles, the groups that I belong to. But it cannot contain the entire directory, right? So if I have 50 reports, I cannot expect this incoming token to have a list of all the reports. I will have, at a certain point, to say, okay, dear user, you are here. Now I want to know who your reports are. And that means that that thing needs to come back to the local directory, because the directory is the place that knows about all this information. Once again, if I am within the boundaries of my company, no problem. What do I use for finding that out? It's a four-letter word. It's not a bad word, but it's a four-letter word. 3, 2, 1. LDAP. LDAP is a protocol that was created by a colleague of mine, which is very peculiar because he has a huge beard. I know I shouldn't say anything, but like you, when you go to a conference, Mark, you always spot him. He invented LDAP. LDAP is the protocol that you use for querying the directory and finding out things like the reports of a user, like anything that is memorizing the directory about the user. However, it works only within the boundaries of your enterprise. So how do you do that? If you sell this application to millions of organizations, how do you do that? Well, people have been known to do things that are less than correct, such as, for example, asking their customers to take an Excel file with a list of all the users and upload it once a week, once a day. Of course, I don't know if it's necessary for me to tell you how unholy this thing is, because you are one forward away from getting spearhead phishing, like poaching, all sorts of like nightmares can become reality right away. Of course, you might decide to pierce a hole in this firewall and then allow something which lives outside of your directory to query your directory. But first, you have a firewall for a reason. You want to keep people out. So piercing holes is kind of like defeating the purpose. And the other is that you want to operate at cloud scale. So if you are talking to millions of customers, and now every time you need to do a query, you have to come back. You have this bottleneck of these millions of local directories, which you have to wait for pulling stuff out. So yeah, sorry, no. So basically, I just spoke on the basis of that. Now let me go back for one little step. Nope, there's no way. You know what? This is one of those cases in which if you don't write your own slides, la la la, and voila. Okay, so how does Azure AD help with all this? Well, it's a very, very simple trick. Azure AD is a projection in the cloud of your local directory. It's not a full fidelity projection. I don't need to know about your printers on the cloud, but it is a projection which brings up the list of users, their relationships, the groups that belong to, things like licenses and similar, and if I so choose, even hashes over passwords, so that I can also do authentication fully in the cloud. But for the most conservative customers, normally I simply have a federation relationship, which actually still have my authentication on-prem. But anyway, the point here is, when I have my organization and I set up Azure Active Directory, in practice, I am setting up a little Windows service, which runs all the time, and occasionally takes a selected set of attributes and projects them in the cloud. And in so doing, it standardizes the way in which users look like. So my directory might be wacko, and I might have all sorts of odd things. But when I do this projection, the end result of this projection is always the same. So when I decide to establish, to provision my application, I don't have to bring anybody to dinner, which is a bummer, because I kind of occasionally like it. But the point here is that you can do a cookie-cutter approach, because now every directory looks the same, even if when you go in the actual implementation, they can be different. So that's great. Also, this directory provides a central point which can deal with authentication, so that you don't need to set up a federation between your Azure AD and your application. There are mechanisms which leverage the fact that Azure Active Directory knows already about all the directories in the system. Normally, here, the only person that can add your application is the administrator, because the administrator is the only one that can change anything at all in the directory. Now, if you come here and you imagine that all the directories are hosted in the same place, even if each and every administrator can change whatever they want in the directories separately, and even if every administrator can decide on the specific policies which allow provisioning or not provisioning applications, in the end, the pipes are all shared. So if I am in this directory and I create an application, the details of that application are known by the underlying system. So if this other guy wants to consume that application, the directory can make it happen easily without asking the administrator to know anything at all. It can just pop out a dialogue saying, "Dear administrator, here this application is trying to gain access to your directory, asking for these permissions. Are you okay with it?" Administrator says, "Okay, done. Your application is provisioned." Even better, if you want, you can allow users to do this. There are certain permissions that are somewhat not very important, like, for example, knowing the details about that specific user. Now, the directory allows you, when you create an application, to actually be provisioned just by end users. How many of you guys use Slack? 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Fantastic. So for everybody else, Slack is a very interesting application, which helps. It's like, I don't know, I don't see a lot of white hair, but remember IRC, the chatting channel before WhatsApp and similar? So it was like a chat application. And Slack is substantially a private chat that companies can use for just, how to say, instantiating their own channel so that teams can collaborate. They can use this internal chat and collaborate. And now, when somebody wants to sign up for Slack, they don't need to go to their administrator and ask them, please provision. Slack can actually allows the individual user to just verify that they have an email in their domain. And if they do, then they can participate to these channels that others from the same domain created. And then once they hit critical mass, then they go to the administrator, or the administrator might realize that lots of users are already on this app, and then they can go and pay for the, for the enterprise version of this app. So it's a very effective technique, which starts from the individual users and grow to actually address the entire organization. Now, this thing basically streamlines that approach. You can use this approach with your own applications. Again, this is only for 2.5 people, because for everybody else, you are doing your enterprise, so it doesn't matter. But if you want to start your own startup, Just know that this is possible. I know this is a bit abstract, so let me make it a bit more concrete. How do you actually integrate with Azure Active Directory? Well, first thing, we use open standards everywhere. Remember the thing I said earlier about how Federation came to be, that is a protocol that you agree upon, and then without knowing the details of implementation, you can have two parts of a topology talk to each other. Well, we do exactly this. We use modern protocols like OpenID Connect and OAuth, but of course we also support legacy protocols. So if you have a solution based on SAML and you want to connect with Azure Active Directory, without any knowing any specifics, you can actually connect with Azure Active Directory. You just use SAML, you find our coordinates, and you connect. Then, to make things extra easy, we actually also develop libraries, developer libraries that you can use directly within your application. And those things live at a higher abstraction level than the protocol. Very few people like to spend the weekend reading protocol specifications. And I have to admit that I did do that for a few years of my life, but my social life is not very rich, so it's okay. But I'm sure that you guys are all like, you have friends and families and similar. So when you use the libraries, this actually helps you to obtain the result that you want, signing in or accessing the directory and similar, without knowing any of the details. And given that we live in a very, pluralistic world with many different languages, many different platforms and similar, we try to cover as many of the common platforms as possible. So of course you have stuff on Windows, of course you have stuff on .NET, but if you are developing for iOS in Objective-C, I don't judge you, but we have a library for you in Objective-C. How many of you guys work on iPhone? Not a lot. How many of you guys develop for Android? More, okay. I was going to ask about Windows Phone, but I will not. And no point going into the details of all the libraries. If you go in this uncharacteristically easy to remember URL, aka ms/aaddev, there is a starting point which fans out and shows you all of our libraries. Now, I blabbered a lot, but I forgot to mention an important case in here. Remember when I said earlier, I'm a manager, I sign in a expense note up, and I want to know the list of my reports. Well, in this system, given the directory is replicated in the cloud, I can do so. I can just query the directory without having to pierce any firewall, without having to be constrained by things that go back to on-prem, and I can actually achieve the functionality even if I am outside of the boundaries of my enterprise. And we'll see in a moment what that means in practice. How many of you guys know what is OData? Uno, due, tre, quattro, cinque, sei, sei. You guys are way too fast for me. Can you keep the hand up for a moment? Thank you. I didn't really count, but I just wanted to have time to drink. I'm joking. I counted. I counted. Before you write in the evil, the Italian is tricking us. Also, I am an official US citizen, so if you have stereotypes about Italians, just so you know, I am a US citizen. Okay, so here there is one practical example of somebody that benefited from connecting to Azure AD for signing in. Smartsheet is a company that does workflow and project management. They integrate with businesses, of course, but they wanted to raise their profile. Like they were difficult to discover, and also when they actually found somebody that wanted to connect with them, integration was somewhat, hard. And so they just came to us, and we worked with them, and now they are in the Office 365 marketplace, and they manage to sign in together with our existing system, also with Azure Active Directory, which is pretty handy. And let me just give you a quick fictional example of how similar things work. Now, I'm going on a website of a fictional ISV application. Imagine that I'm selling this like super useful web application, and that I want to attract customers. I have my existing sign-up experience in which users can come in and provide a username, password, and so create yet another authentication. I already have lots of users in there, and I don't want to change it. However, I want a leg up. I want people to actually, that already have, for example, Office 365, to be able to single sign-on in my app. So here, there is a nice trick that they can use. Say that now I want to sign up to this application, and I write my email address. And this mail address happens to be one email address associated to an Azure Active Directory. So today I am Mario. Feedback for the next edition, higher tables, because otherwise my hair. OK, so here, watch what happens. I hit tab, and magically, well, magically is JavaScript. This thing grabs the domain part of a user, goes back to a public API in Azure AD, and says, hey, do you happen to know this domain? And the domain says, yeah, I know. And so what happens is that the application shows this sign up with. And now when I click on that button, I trigger the code that has my integration with Azure Active Directory. So that instead of creating stuff from scratch, I actually end up reusing my existing user, which is pretty good. Now, I think that the password is wrong. And it is wrong. It's a security measure. OK, so here there is one interesting aspect. Remember what I said earlier, that with this mechanism, I don't need to have to deal with the administrator. As a software vendor, I don't need the administrator to take my application and explicitly provision it in their system. Here I had one user that authenticated with his own Azure Active Directory. Now they're coming back here, and Active Directory sees that this application is defined in another instance of Azure Active Directory, the instance of a software vendor. And it's informing me that this application is attempting to sign you in, so get a token, and it's attempting to look at the list of users in the directory with a basic profile, which means not a lot of information. So now, as a user, I am empowered to say accept or cancel, saying, nah, I don't want to do this. So if I click accept, and if I didn't wait too long, what happens is that behind the scenes, this application gets deployed in my directory. And so now, this application can actually do the things that I gave permission to. How many of you guys are on Facebook? Really? Come on. I don't believe it. So I know my accent is difficult to understand, so let me try again. How many of you guys are on Facebook? Yes, right now. OK, so I'm sure that everyone among you have a very annoying friend, which absolutely needs water for their virtual farm somewhere. And thankfully, Facebook, before doing whatever transaction this guy would want you to do, it prompts you saying, hey, did you really want to do this thing? Are you sure? Did you think about it? So imagine that what you have just witnessed is the application of the same principle in a business context. Now, there would be things like, for example, reading the entire directory or writing the directory, which instead would work only for administrators. In that case, the dialog would only be shown if a user was an administrator, and only an administrator can say OK. So here, basically, you can empower users to, be independent, but at the same time, you can still control them. So as you can see here, the system already found out filled up the sign up. So at this point, I can just click sign up, and the system will create a record, and here I'll have my list of to-dos. So let's keep that guy for a moment, and let's actually, instead of showing you the entire website, which is kind of contains a lot of CSS and for making it look pretty. Let me just start from scratch and build a super simple app which does sign in the same way. So here we have Visual Studio, which you guys declared have, so I assume you're familiar. Let me just create a brand new project. Let me call it Web Button. Okay. Now, in Visual Studio itself, when you create a project here, you can see that we have this functionality, which allow you to automatically, already at creation time, decide how you're going to authenticate your users. And the default is the classic membership provider, but you can select a work and school account, and these will allow you to connect to Azure Active Directory or to ADFS if you have it locally. So let's do this. Now, you can see this little washing machine going. What's happening? My Visual Studio is associated to my account and a number of other accounts, which I signed in with Visual Studio. Now, this was something that took about 4 months of my life, and a lot of white hair here are for this feature. But we managed to get once a week for 4 months Visual Studio, ASP.NET, Office, Azure, all in a room once a week. And we agreed on how to deal with authentication in Visual Studio 2015. And the result is that you can sign in Visual Studio, and then Visual Studio maintains a list of tokens, and then the features that I listed can actually tap on this list of tokens and allow me to automatically call services. In this case, I'm going to automatically create an entry for my application in Azure Active Directory, because I'm signed in already as a developer in my Azure Active Directory. And so Visual Studio now can act on my behalf. And when it creates a project, it can also create an entry for my application. Normally, I'd have to go in the Azure portal and create the application by hand, which isn't rocket science, but still, I'm lazy, as the stereotype wants me to be. And so here, I like this feature. And in fact, here, let me jump out of this and use the other zoom. The list that you see in here are all the test directories that I have accessible, given the users that I used to sign in with Visual Studio. And my favorite workhorse is this developer tenant. I create all my apps in there. In fact, this tenant is about to collapse, but hopefully it will take one more. So now, as soon as I hit OK, this thing calls the directory, provides all the details of my application, and creates one new entry. And then at that point, as soon as I'll use it, we'll see exactly the same process that we saw earlier, but just for a simpler application. And it always takes a lot of time. Is Glenn still in? Glenn? No. OK. Glenn is a part of a team that decides what goes in the templates. And in the templates, they have an enormous amount of nuggets. And my stuff needs like 4 or 5. So for me, if I drop all the other nuggets, that would be fantastic. But they don't, and so it takes a long time to create. Luckily, I like the sound of my own voice, not really. So I blubber just for filling up the empty air. OK, before showing you exactly the same flow that we did earlier, let me show you the code that is used for integrating with Azure Active Directory. The code might look a bit complicated, but it isn't, I assure you. How many of you guys ever used Windows Identity Foundation? All right, perfect, great, thank you. So you guys would remember, and for everybody else, you have to believe me, when you created an application and you want to connect this application to your ADFS or even to Azure AD in its first version, you'd have a tool which would go to one document which described the way in which Active Directory or ADFS were going to do authentication, and generated a really long, really complicated config file. And then you had to shove this config file together with your app, and this thing would tell WIF what to do. Windows Identity Foundation would read this thing and do it. And this was great for when things worked out. It was terrible when things didn't work out, because suddenly you had to understand all of that stuff. It was really complicated. It was something like 30 to 50 lines of really arcane code based on protocols. Now, compare it with the things that you have here today. Here, there is a code which initializes my my application. It's super simple code. Basically, the first line that we find interesting is this one. This line basically says, I want to track the session with my user using cookies. Not very hard. As you can see, I don't even need to pass any parameters. I'm just saying, I want cookies. The other one is the one that describes the kind of authentication protocol that I want. Here, I'm just saying, I want to use OpenID Connect. And the two things that I highlighted are the bare minimum. Everything else which is in there is useful, but you don't need it for just the sign-on process. For the sign-on process, I just need to specify two things. One is the ID of my application. When I create the entry of my application in Azure Active Directory, I am assigned an identifier. Here, I used Visual Studio, so Visual Studio created one for me. And so now in my web config, I have this identifier. The second thing is the authority. Remember when I said earlier that there is not a single Azure Active Directory. There are millions of Azure Active Directories run by everybody. This authority just says what is the Azure Active Directory that I want to talk with. So if I want to talk with Contoso, I'll go with Contoso. This time I was talking to developer tenant. And so if we search for it in the web config, here it is. So substantially, that authority is just grabbing that information and bringing it up in the sign-in code. So that's all the code that you need to add. So even if you wouldn't use the tooling for creating this, even if you do it afterwards, even if you have an existing app and you want to add this thing, you add a couple of NuGet packages, you add that couple of lines of code, done. You have your sign-in. So let me just prove to you that it actually works. Diamo, diamo, diamo. Slowly, slowly. But eventually, here we have our fantastic Chrome, which before the end of the day, hopefully, here, see, web button, this is the application I just created. Here I have Mario. I get again my request. Here I hit accept. And, you know, going all the way to the data center and then coming back, of course, takes some time, but ta-da! Just didn't write any code, created my app, and I already have a single sign-on. Okay, so let me just jump ahead a bit quicker, and let's say that now I want to know more details about my user. So there is this thing in the directory which we call the directory graph. Come on, collaborate. Let me jump out of this, and let me jump ahead a bit. Where is the graph? Yep. There is this API, which is the counterpart of LDAP. Remember when we said LDAP earlier. In the cloud, instead of using LDAP, we use what we call the Graph API. Now, at this point, we have a number of different Graph APIs. Before, we had just the Azure AD Graph API. Now, we have a Microsoft Graph API, which is an API that includes Outlook.com APIs, directory graph APIs, and similar. But for simplicity, let me just stick with Azure AD Graph. The idea is that the directory is not just a flat table, but it's a table of entities that are all connected by relationships. And it's really useful to be able to crawl through those relationships so that you can discover things about your company and also leverage these things. So again, think of expense note case in which I have my user and I want all the reports of this user. Now, this thing is very nice and modern. It's based on OData substantially, so it's a REST API that I can use for creating, updating, deleting entities. Those entities are the entities that you expect to find in the directory: users, groups, applications, licenses, contacts, pretty standard stuff. We also have libraries that help you to navigate through these if you're a big fan of IntelliPoint. Personally, I like for REST applications to actually just use REST calls because I just find the URLs clearer. But again, if you want a library, we also have libraries for this. And it's super easy to use. So I still have my Chrome ongoing. Let me turn on Fiddler just to see if we manage to see how this thing plays out. How many of you guys are familiar with Fiddler? All right, perfect. So here, the project, as it comes out from Visual Studio, when I click on this, on the name of the user, it automatically calls the Graph API for finding out more about the user. It's a very conservative call. It actually asks for things that I already know, but it's just for like showing the mechanism here. So if I click on it, this guy thinks a bit about it. Okay. So here, as you can see, I retrieved a couple of more information about my user. Now, let's turn off this guy. And let's actually take a look at what happened here. So here, there is the call which we made to our Graph API. Hey, the Zoom worked last time. Why isn't it working now? Ah, it's working. Okay. Perfect. So how many of you guys are familiar with OAuth? All right. For everybody else, my pronunciation might be bad. It's OAuth. I'm serious. Like, at least in America, when I say OAuth, they don't understand. Which, for my line of work, is a problem, because I say it like five times every 5 minutes. But anyway, that's a very, without going into the details, mostly because I don't want to bore you, and also because we don't have time. But the idea is very simple. When I want to do an API call, I obtained a security token as part of my sign-in, and now I want to query the directory. The query to the directory is just an HTTP verb, which in this case is get. Then the thing that you see in here, let me break this down for you, is a query to the graph, which means the first part is graph windows.net, which is I want the graph. The second part is the identifier of my tenant. Here, I could have written developer-tenant.onmicrosoft.com. It would have worked anyway. But with the ID, it's more, given that it's automatically generated code, it's just easier to use the ID. The third part is users. That's the entity that I wanted to query. I could have had application, I could have had groups, whatever else. And then finally, the rest is the identifier of a user. I could have used Mario at developer-tenant.onmicrosoft.com, but again, this is auto-generated code, so using the identifier is just more precise. And then, as you can see in here, is this big token, this authorization bearer, and all those bytes are actually a token that I got from Azure Active Directory. This token contains the two permissions that I asked for when I consented, in which I asked for getting the read capability for the directory, and the sign-in of a user. And so what I used here was used exactly to get back my user. And here, actually, let me grab JSON. What I got back was, can you read or is it too small? Is it too small, huh? Can I make it bigger? No. So I have to do it raw. Sorry. So what I got back was just a bunch of JSON, which describes the user that I wanted. So very, very easy to query the directory and very easy to maintain this kind of granularity. So I barely scratched the surface, as it's the classic thing that one has to say. But I hope that this gave you at least a high-level idea of why we have Azure Active Directory and what are the kind of things that you can do. There are at least 10 other ways of like basic protocols that you can use for integrating with Azure Active Directory. And there are far more advanced things than just getting the list of users. Like recently, I wrote a little algorithm that goes through your directory and finds out all the first names of all the people. And per manager tells you what is the percentage of male and female, given that in US now, let's see, trying to be a bit more balanced is a big deal. And those are things that normally you would not be able to do, because those are data that you don't own. But with the Graph APIs, you can do all sorts of interesting things. So if you want to know more, please go to this akams.com/aaddev. There you'll find from high-level conceptual document to all the way to quick starts. So anything in between. If you just want to know high level, it works. If you want to be hands-on on any of the platforms that you support, you'll find it in there. And special for the roadshow, as in like they don't let me out of the house very often, but when they do, we try to do things correctly. So if you have specific questions, if you want help for getting integrated with Azure AD, if you write to this address for the next 30 days, we'll have people that will jump on it and help you, which normally we always want to help, but we don't always dedicate specific resources for it. So, of course, if you are in a good mood, don't forget to eval this session. If you don't feel kind of like have a coffee, have a green tea, have a pastry, have something that uplifts you, and then, of course, still evaluate the session. Thank you.